Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We are part of North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through food and agriculture. And I am so excited about our show today.
I know, so am I. Today we're talking with Tim Murphy, who is an author of Cookbooks for Guys. We're already laughing. I'm sorry.
I have questions.
I think we're going to be laughing a lot today. So welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tim, it's great to have you here with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your connection to the North Coast. How did you wind up here?
I have to blame a dating website while I'm here.
Oh, boy.
Very unusual story. I was working in Medford. I was down there doing radio, and I had dated in 10 years. I'd pretty much given up. Thought, I'll just save the money and the heartache. And a friend of mine said, you got to try this website called plentyoffish.com. So I went on there, and I'm looking at people. I'm like, okay, high school grad, 6 kids, mobile home, not what I'm looking for. Keep going through, and I come across this intriguing photograph. And the woman was from Kentucky, and she was moving to the coast. And you can say, are you interested? You know, yes, no, or maybe. And I thought, well, I don't want to be too forward. I'll just say maybe, and she can check my profile. And about 10 minutes later, I get a little message back. What do you mean maybe? Oh, she's a smart aleck.
Sassy.
Oh, okay. And we started texting, and you know, we come to find out she's moving out here. She's planned it for 10 years. She had MS, and she wanted to move out here because of the medical marijuana to help her. Mm-hmm. And we kept texting, and we tried to call each other, and our phones wouldn't work. So we texted for 2 weeks. 2 weeks before she gets, or 2 days before she gets here, she says, go ahead and ask me. I'm like, hey, why don't you move in with me?
Wow.
I've never lived with anyone. I've never been married. This is a big deal for me. Kind
of. I'll say.
She did. Month later, we're engaged. 7 months later, we're married. Her dream was to move to the coast. I said, give me a year or two, and I'll get you there. 6 weeks after we got married, they cut my job. And I said, there's our opening. So I took a couple of months and worked on the books. And then last May, we headed up to Seaside. And this past May, we just bought a house in Astoria.
Wow. Okay, that's kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy.
I know. So the cookbook thing. So does she cook?
She's an amazing cook and an amazing chef, which really gets her mad about my books because she's like, I'm a cook, I'm trained, and you're writing these books that write, I'm a guy and I'm an eater, so I know what guys will like.
So I ran into you last winter and we started talking about these books, which is what I really wanted to have you on the show. So tell people the story of how these got started, because I think this is hilarious.
Okay, I call them cookbooks for guys. They're simple recipes guys can make quick because we're lazy and we're hungry. It's that simple. So
not to generalize.
I mean, there are chefs out there, fine, but come on, guys, admit it. You know, bologna and mustard, that's three items right there with the bread. You're cooking. A good friend of mine back in Michigan, my old morning show partner, had some hunting property. And he was telling me about 5 years ago, he goes, every year it's the same thing. They show up for the week and guys have beef jerky and cheese and beer, maybe bologna if we're getting, you know, really, really
classy.
I said, yeah, you guys don't hunt. You sit there and you watch football games and get away from your wives. So you're not going to eat anything else. You need something. So I kind of collected a bunch of just basic recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks that would get them through a week. And I just put the book together. It was kind of a joke, and I put it on Amazon.com. And within weeks, it jumped to their top 1% in sales, and it took off. I'm like, I think I'm onto something. Simple recipes
incredible.
Guys can make quick. And my 17th book is coming out next week in less than 2 years.
So what is it that's so different about writing for guys?
You know, not to downgrade men's mentality, but because
let's just go there.
Because I are one. You know, because we are busy, we just make it simple for us. Just give us the basics. Look, we're not going to go to Paris. We're not going to cook anything fancy with sauces. Just give us some good basic food that's going to taste good. And that's just it. And if you've never been taught how to cook, which I never was, you don't know where to start. Yep. You know, when I got to college, I could make popcorn, toast, and hot dogs. And that was it.
That's better than many.
It is better than many. So I thought, you know, what are just some basic meals you can make? A basic casserole, some basic chicken and beef dishes, basic vegetable dishes. So I put all these together in the first book. And as I kept doing more and more research, I was finding thousands and thousands of recipes. So I do some more specific for outdoorsmen or wild game. I did one of just, you've got one right there, of just different
just
hamburgers.
Burgers, I know.
But it's not just beef. It's wild game. It's chicken. It's fish burgers. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Some for hot dogs. Now I've got them for the Single Guy Cookbook, which is 6 ingredients or less. That way, if you're a single dad, a recent grad, or a guy just kicked out of your parents' basement, you know how to cook.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, what I'm looking about is in looking at these recipes, they are super simple. You've got a really simple list of ingredients. And then the instructions are pretty much just like a short paragraph.
That's it. There's no pictures because it never looks like the pictures.
Set yourself up for disappointment?
Yeah, if it's going to taste good, that's all you care about. If it's brown and lumpy, but it tastes good, you're happy.
The instruction part is the thing that I think is so interesting. My partner, Tom, is terrified in the kitchen, like deer in the headlights when he's in the kitchen. Sorry, honey. So simple instructions, that's the thing that trips him up all the time. He's like, the instructions make no sense. They're not real linear in his mind. So,
well, in every recipe, if it doesn't fit on one page, I don't do it.
Oh, that's
just for that reason. Yeah. You don't want to be jumping pages. You want to be able to look down. I leave white space at the bottom of the page so you can make notes. Like, oh, I wanted to try this instead, or try this ingredient, or double this. That way you can write that down. And it's all broken up fairly easily. Most of the books are anywhere from about 100 to 120 recipes. Mm-hmm. Some of the more specialized ones have a few in that. I've got a couple of anthologies out that double that. But for the most part, basic recipes, you could have a couple every week and you're good for the year.
Yeah. So do you find, I'm curious about this, are you a cook that can, do you need a recipe to follow? Or can you sort of like look at what's in the cupboard and go, oh, okay, I can this, I can probably make something out of that.
I need direction in so many things, but especially when it comes to cooking, as my wife will attest. If you give me a map, I can get you there.
Yeah.
I can't just say, oh, let me take a pinch of this and a handful of this. My mom could do that. I mean, she could take duct tape and a wrench and give you an amazing casserole. I don't know how she did it. I don't have those skills. You got to write it out for me step by step. And I figure I'm not the only one like this. So that's why the books are set up
that
the way they
so
are.
So interesting, because I have that same thing. I'm sorry, Packy. I promised I wouldn't tell stories about my husband. But it's so true, man. He totally needs a recipe.
Well,
and
we do.
And he's just very uncomfortable without a recipe. He's an amazing cook. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it takes him a really – if the recipes are complicated – we have an amazing meal, but we don't eat until 10:30 at night.
Right.
It's really good, but holy cow.
But you're exhausted.
I'm ready for bed.
You know, and most of these you can make anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, because you're thinking, you know, you just get home from work or you get home for lunch.
Yeah.
You got 5 or 10 or 20 minutes to throw something together.
Yeah.
As long as you've got the ingredients in the house, you can make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, to me, if it's longer than an hour, I've lost interest in where's the bag of chips. and I'm wandering off already. You know, it's like shiny stuff. I get distracted.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are just, you know, get to the point and make a decent meal.
One of the things I noticed, Tim, in looking at some of your recipes here, I see some great humor coming through here in some of these titles. I just love them. I'm looking at the Rock and Roll Cookbook.
Yeah, you cooked me
Jack
all night long.
Steak Diane. Yeah, you cooked me all night long. Awesome. Love this. Strawberry fruit salad forever.
So I have to that's think that great. That's influenced a little bit by your radio background.
Just a little bit. And it was kind of funny. I wrote something down about it. I'm like, well, that sounds like a song title, but that could be a recipe. I'm like, oh, there's an idea. So I sat down one day and I came up with like 120 titles, 40 of which were so obscure that unless you're really into music and like early 70s British art rock, you wouldn't even know what they were. So I had to kind of make it a little more mainstream.
That sounds like a specialized cookbook.
Yeah. Very much so.
Target audience.
And I put this together. I'm like, okay, I've got the titles. Now I got to find the recipes. So that was the tough part. It took me about 2 months to hunt down recipes that would fit with those titles or augment older recipes into that.
Mm-hmm. So how do you go about finding recipes?
You know, it's kind of funny. I church cookbooks are a wonderful source.
That's great.
Old church cookbooks. But I'll use that as a basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff in the 40s and 50s and 60s, great ideas, but palates have changed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they've evolved, and new spices, new condiments are in, and new ways of cooking. So I'll take that as a basic, and I'll experiment a little bit and go, okay, let me try it this way. What if I add sriracha sauce, which is my new favorite?
That good stuff.
It's what ketchup was 30 years ago. Yeah. You put sriracha on anything, it's amazing. And I'll augment it a little bit, or I'll like, okay, we don't really cook with oleo much anymore. Let me try this instead. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a butter fan than I am margarine, just because I think the natural stuff's better for you than the artificial. But yeah, so I play with that a little bit. And then, of course, I've got so many friends now after the first couple ones that would start sending me recipes. Hey, this is my mom's or my dad's or my uncle's. So I'm constantly getting emailed recipes. And I'm like, is it okay if I put this in the book? They're like, yeah, go right ahead.
Does it take you a while to test them? I mean, do you make things several times or do you test them on other people?
I usually try them once. And not every book in there, not every recipe in the books do I cook. But they've been cooked by somebody, so I know that it's going to be tasty.
Mm-hmm.
If I cooked every book or every recipe up till now, I'd be 100 pounds more than I am now and completely broke.
Yeah.
But some of the fun is the experimentation. And, and my wife, like I said, she is the cook. She's an amazing chef.
So did she give you feedback on these?
Oh, she's got all kinds of feedback for me. because she is a cook, and I had actually wrote the first one before we met, and she was looking at it going, "You're not even a cook." I said, "No, but I'm an eater. I know what guys like to eat." She's actually written a book, too, kind of inspired by what I did. She did one called The 420 Diner. Because she has MS, she moved out this way for medical marijuana. And the things that are out there just taste like you're eating road tar, I guess. I have no interest in the stuff, so whatever. So she's developed certain butters and oils you can use in cooking and with these recipes. It's called The 420 Diner Cookbook. And hers, I hear the food's amazing.
Wow.
But whenever she cooks, I'm like, okay, which one's the high octane, which one's the regular? I don't want to mix up here. But yeah, she's an amazing cook too, but she just kind of shakes her head and laughs at me. She was in radio for 20 years too, so we've got a similar kind of background and sense of humor. So
has her cooking influenced you at all?
Actually, yeah. I never had eggplant parmesan until I met her.
Oh, nice.
And
what do you think?
I actually took the leftovers to work and heated it up.
Okay. And will that appear in one of the cookbooks for guys?
Probably not, because I can't make it as good as she can. I know what my limitations are.
There.
Yeah, exactly. That's her recipe. She actually helped me lose 60 pounds. I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic, and she's like, well, we've got to change your diet. And I dropped the sugared pops and Mountain Dew, which to me was like coffee, and I dropped the weight like that.
Nice.
Things like eggplant parmesan were doing it for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And really wonderful, flavorful food.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, vegetables, I mean, don't be afraid of them, guys.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it tasty. She goes, we should make you vegan. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Never a cheeseburger again. No.
You're not going to have Flannel John's vegan cookbook?
Well, oddly enough.
That could be awesome.
There is one coming out. Uh-huh. It's called Flannel John's Bad Hunter Cookbook, Vegan Vittles and Meatless Meals. And that'll be out in the fall. Just because I have had so many people ask about that. And in this part of the country, that's very popular.
Yeah.
So we're giving the people what they want. Yeah.
So who's Flannel John? What's that reference?
Flannel John is actually based on an old hunter I knew in Upper Michigan. Crusty old guy I met back in the early 80s. He's even crustier now. He's close to 85, 86. So I kind of took his spirit and kind of what he taught me, some little camp cooking ideas. So he's a combination of that and Red Green, if you know him from the TV show, Babe Winkleman, Ted Nugent, Krusty Mountain Man, and he's kind of the character. So most of the books are kind of attributed to him just for his spirit and his inspiration.
So all the Michigan folks out there are cracking up right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of you out here. We were talking about this.
There are.
What is it
we are
about
everywhere.
The North Coast that is so attractive to people from Michigan?
Yeah, there's pasty recipes in here too, Derry. Oh, for the miners?
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh darn it. Those are just the best, Derry. Oh, yeah. That and Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh,
we like those.
Oh,
what?
So the attraction for me when I first came to Oregon was it's very green. There's lots of water. And I never have to, well, rarely ever have to shovel anything in the wintertime.
It's great.
And there's sunshine.
Yeah. We had 1 inch of snow on the sand in Seaside this winter. And that was it. It was gone by noon.
Yeah.
You know, it's Michigan without shoveling. I love it here.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it can actually be sunnier.
Sunnier here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent a year in Ketchikan, though. We got two sunny days a month. This, to me, is like Miami Beach. I'm perfectly happy here.
So you have to tell me that title again. Flannel John's, the one you're working on?
Flannel John's Bad Hunter Cookbook, and that's going to be Meatless Meals and Vegetarian Vittles.
Okay.
That'll be out in the fall, and then I'm doing one a little more of a comedy bent, which is not a Flannel John book. It's just going to be called The Chubby Middle-Aged Guy's Diet Cookbook. So
Diet cookbook.
All
right.
Yeah.
Right on.
So and I need you guys to explain pickled bologna because you talked about this earlier and that sounds like the most disgusting thing.
Okay. I don't think Tim can talk about it with the reverence that I
would. No, I really can't. I will defer to you.
No, but here's the thing, because when I first moved here, I'd never had pickled salmon before, and I thought that was the most horrifying thing I'd ever had. I used to be force-fed pickled herring when I was a child because my dad's family was German and it just was gross. So I mean, but pickled salmon was actually not bad, so I'm open-minded, except that sounds gross.
Well, it's actually really quite good. I even have a recipe for it. I could perhaps envision making a batch and we could test it out, except for finding the right bologna out here is
but you gotta use ring bologna, right?
It has to be ring bologna.
Yeah,
so bologna that's in a big ring. It's like you take a long sausage and tie it.
Yeah. Like a donut.
So, yeah. It's big. A big ring. And it goes in a jar, and your pickling spices go in, and you let it sit there so it gets all nice and pickled, so you get this very tart, and it's bar food in Michigan. So you go to all these little bars, and they have jars of pickled bologna, usually jars of pickled eggs, and jars of pickled pig's feet.
But a lot of them have been sitting there since the 50s. It's more decor than it is food. I
mean, well, in some places, that's probably
true. It gives
true.
The illusion that they'll feed you,
no.
but they really
See,
won't.
That is bar food.
It's so just... good. Cheese crackers, beer, and pickled bologna.
There you go.
It's on.
Yeah.
That's so I, but honestly, I'm thinking, you know, given all the people from Michigan that live out here, someone should start doing
this. I could be
this.
Onto something here.
You really could be. This is nostalgia. You know, like people who, you know, people who live in the States but are originally from Great Britain, and there's like, you know, stores that sell like weird.
Well, there's only
British
two.
Foods
there's only
like
two
that.
British foods, and one's blood pudding.
So. Oh, and spotted dick.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And bangers and mash.
No, and the Heinz baked beans. Yep.
Okay, so I have to tell you one more pickled bologna story. It's such a delicacy in Michigan. My aunt lived in upstate New York, and when they would drive to Michigan to visit, she would keep a paring knife in the glove compartment of the car. And as soon as, because you can only buy this in Michigan, right? So as soon as she would get into Michigan, they would stop at a party store, which is another Michigan thing, known elsewhere as convenience stores, and they would buy pickled bologna, and she would slice it up and eat it as soon as they crossed the state line. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fascinated, and I sort of like.
She's looking horrified.
Well, I'm scared, but I sort of want to try it because
yeah,
I'm
do.
Trying to be open minded.
Yeah.
It still sounds gross to me,
but. But you have to have it with Werner's ginger ale.
Oh.
Werner's ginger ale is the
Michigan
most gingery
thing.
Of ginger ales, and yes. it's a Michigan delicacy as well.
Perhaps Coney Dogs. From National.
I just
dogs.
Think this is like a...
It's a Michigan show.
So this is...
How
I know,
did we get here?
I'm not entirely sure. I didn't realize you guys were both from Michigan. I'm feeling a little sandwiched
we
in
should
between
do the map
here. I know, hey. Okay.
Hold
so,
up your hand. Everyone knows that. I live
know.
By this knuckle and this finger and over here. And yeah.
So we obviously do love to talk about food here and perhaps enough about pickled bologna.
Yeah.
Tim, maybe you'd be willing to share with our listeners what are you cooking now or perhaps a recipe? Or...
I'm actually getting more and more into baking. Which is something I've never really tried until the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. You know, being unemployed gives you a lot of free time to just play and drive your wife nuts. So yeah, we actually went out and got a bread machine, and I've been doing some baking. And the one thing I did pull off that I really liked, I love cornbread. My mom used to make an amazing cornbread.
Cornbread is so good.
And I have come up with a recipe for bacon cheddar cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And it's in the first book, and it's also in the anthology. But it's that actually took me a couple of tries to get it right because it was getting too greasy on the bottom, and I had to make sure I distributed the bacon flavor through the whole thing. That's my favorite. So I'm kind of experimenting now more with breads and rolls and that kind of stuff, as much for my own amusement as I am for the books. So, yeah, that's
but
been
nice
kind of fun.
But it's nice because baking doesn't have to be super complicated, but it's often very intimidating for people. And
right.
it's hard because those really are things that you can't play around with too much, at least until you've made it once.
Exactly. There's
chemistry.
Much more science to it.
Yeah.
Much more science to it. You know, guys, don't mix up baking powder and baking soda because they're two different things, and it'll taste completely different if you get it wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you can get four or five or six basic ingredients or get a good basic bread recipe, you can start adding stuff into it and kind of adjusting the ingredients, but that takes a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of practice before you get to that point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That, I think the science part of it is the reason I don't bake as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have to be so precise, although I love kneading dough. I love that part of it.
And every stove and oven is different, too. You got to kind of know electric and gas. I prefer to cook with gas because it's got a little more moisture to it.
Yeah.
Higher elevations, you've got to adjust for that. So, yeah, so it's a lot more complicated than just, you know, putting a chunk of meat in a crock pot and having at it. So.
Yeah. So do you, I notice in your cookbooks, you don't really talk about any sort of cooking techniques or anything like that. So there is an assumption that there's some basic skills that people have.
Right. None of the books have anything to do with microwave. I'm assuming that anyone can just heat something up. We all know how to
Without
do that.
Instruction.
In fact, for guys, that's 90% of what we used to do. Most of that's for oven cooking. There are some for grills. I'm starting to get a little more into Dutch ovens, too, which I do like
great.
Cooking outdoors. But yeah, just basically, if you can just kind of get a pot and a pan, Pyrex dish, whatever kind of baking dish you're using, and you can just put it in the oven and then follow the directions, you'll be done. It's not that complicated. It really isn't.
Well, as I look at this, the thing that I'm noticing is the directions are very concise.
Yep.
They're very linear. Do this, then do this, then do that. That seems like it will work really well.
Because men never stop and ask for directions, but we'll follow them. So
yes, directions are good. Help me be successful,
honey.
Right?
How do I do? Okay, forget it. I'll just go ahead and do this. So it's just easier.
Those are great. So how many? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just kind of laughing. I mean, part is going, oh God, we're being so sexist on this show. It's not,
You
know what? It's not sexist. It's true.
It's certainly true to a certain degree.
There are certain tendencies towards men and towards women. Uh-huh. Okay. And I think women are more into shopping than men. Could I say that?
Well, I hate shopping.
Willing to shop sometimes more.
Yeah, more.
I know a lot of women who absolutely hate shopping.
Well, because men are hunter-gatherers. I need a coat. They walk out, they buy a coat, they leave the mall, they're done. Women generally want to look around a little more, and they want to look and check this out and compare and contrast. We just want to get in and get out. It's a military maneuver. Same with cooking. We want to get in, get the mission done, and get out. Same kind of thing.
Okay, I can see that. Okay, so this is the other thing. So grilling and barbecue, though, is often, like, men do cook that way.
Right. We like anything that's got flame.
It's the fire
thing.
We like cooking
with heat. Yeah, we definitely do.
And is that sort of like a thing that are passed? Because this is the other weird thing for me. Like, both my husband and I, we do not have that barbecue gene. Neither of us grew up in families that grilled a lot. And it's very confusing to us, like, you know, presented with a grill, whether it's gas or fire or whatever. It's sort of like, and then what do you do? It's sort of complicated. Like, how do you tell when it's done? It's kind of scary. So that's where I freak out and need instructions.
Yeah.
Like, faced with a grill, I'm flummoxed.
You know, grills generally will heat up a little quicker. Uh-huh. And if you're putting the lid down direct, you're putting the stuff right over the flame, indirect, off to the side.
Yeah.
Most of these recipes, since it's going to be a little hotter, you might want to adjust the time maybe by 20%.
So, like, if I was cooking a hamburger in a frying pan in the house versus on a grill,
right?
How would you do it differently?
You're looking at 6 to 8 minutes either side, in a frying pan.
Okay.
You're looking at maybe 4 to 6 minutes on a grill when you're close to the flame. And the one mistake people make, and don't do this, is they take their spatula
and they press
down on it. The worst thing you can do, because that releases all the juices and then it flames up. So now you're left with a dried burger that's overcooked. Just make a nice fat patty. Just you cook it like that. Let it go. You know, if it starts to look like one side's done, you flip it over.
And is it kind of like with pancakes where you really are supposed to just flip it once and then don't keep flipping it?
Quit playing with your food.
Yes.
Because I get nervous and I keep
flipping
things. Leave
it alone.
No, don't. Just flip it once. You go 3 to 4 or 5 minutes depending on how much the flame is.
Does it look differently? How do you know?
Well, that's when you take your knife and you kind of cut a little bit and you kind of pull it apart and go, yeah, it's still pink inside. I want a little more done.
Our instant read meat thermometers are a great,
those are great
tool
too.
To have.
Yeah.
Pop it in there.
Get
see
up
what
to
your
160 about and then you're doing good.
Okay.
So, but don't press it down and release the juices because it'll dry it out and burn it.
Okay.
And you want a juicy burger.
Yeah.
And the secret too, mix your burger about, depending on how much you want to do, I do about 80% ground beef to 20% shredded bacon.
Oh,
now, you can go
burger.
You can go 50-50. It just depends on how much of a bacon flavor you want, but yeah, bacon.
And that is so much better than just a slice of bacon on top.
It
of
really
the
is. You
it's
got the
actually
bacon
thing.
In the meat, and it tastes amazing.
So, do you have hungry. Just a bacon cook?
Yep, bacon cookbook.
Why am I even asking? Of course,
of course he does.
The bacon cookbook. I've got two cookbooks coming out this week. One is the College Survival Cookbook for college students because they have no money. And if you follow this, you won't be spending $20 every time you go out to eat and then taking student loans till you're 52 like I did. You'll be able to save some money and make it happen. The other one is called the Man Candy Cookbook, Bacon, Bacon, Bacon. And it's about 50 recipes with bacon as either a lead ingredient or the main course or the dessert or the appetizer. And that's going to be out on, it's actually being shipped to me right now. But I will have them at the county fair on that Friday.
Oh, super cool. So you're going to be at the county fair?
Yep. There'll be a local author's booth, and I will be there all day Friday with all 17 books.
Oh, that sounds...
17.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I'm working on 4 right now, and I've got another 10 planned out beyond that.
Oh, my gosh. This has turned into quite the prolific...
industry.
It really has. Yeah. But now that I got a mortgage, I got to keep cranking these things out.
Keep writing. Keep writing.
My wife's like, yeah, it would be nice to have a fence. Okay, I better sell 700 more books.
So if people want to connect with you, they can come out to the county fair,
yep.
Which is August. I think it's the 1st, 2nd, 3rd?
It's the...
Or,
July 30th through the 2nd. I will be around there on that Friday.
Okay, the July 30th.
I'm also at the Owako Market. If you go to flanneljohn.com, a list of all the places I'll be is listed right there. It says a 2014 tour. And I'm usually updating that. I do, you know, some of the festivals. I think I'm doing the Salmon Festival in Vernonia.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so it's, I love doing that kind of stuff. We did the one up in Long Beach, Ocean Park.
Oh, fun. Oh,
wonderful.
And it was phenomenal. We had a lot of people showing up, and we almost sold out of books. It
wow,
was just
that's
a good
great
time.
So
I did
great
the gun show because, you know, guys like to cook and shoot things that they cook. So it worked out real well there.
And you're going to be in Portland.
Going to be in Portland, yeah. K2 is going to have me on Wednesday on AM Northwest. They're going to film a segment with me for later in August. So,
wow.
So and will you be cooking on that?
Supposedly. Yeah, they're going to have me do a key lime pie, which is actually only 4 or 5 ingredients. And it's fairly, it's a great, simple, quick dessert you can make in about 5 or 10 minutes.
And very impressive.
It does. It looks like you've slaved all day long, and it really impresses your guests. So it gives you illusion that you care.
Hey.
Illusions are important sometimes.
They are very, very important. So so I guess if you want to connect with Tim, maybe check out the county fair. And we want to encourage everyone to go to the county fair this year, too. It's a super fun experience.
Yeah.
Lots of really cool things. I always love going to check like all the different pickles and jams and, you know, the things that people raise. It's the Clatsop County Fair, and it's out of the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So July 30th through the 2nd of August. And it's also really fun to go look at the livestock animals that the 4-H kids have been raising.
Yeah,
I love walking
awesome
around there. And there is the livestock auction, I believe, on the last day. And I really want to encourage people to go. If you're looking for great sources of locally raised meat, that is a place
that's
to go.
Place.
It really is. And you can call the 4-H office at the OSU Extension office. And I'm blanking on the number. I'm so sorry, OSU Extension. But if you just look it up in the phone book or Google it or something, OSU Extension office, you can talk to the 4-H people and they can explain to you how to get involved in the livestock auction because it's a super cool thing.
One more quick plug. Lucy's Books in Astoria.
Oh,
they have stopped stocking my books and I thank them for that.
Oh,
Lisa,
hey,
over there.
Lisa.
And they're actually going to do a book launch for me on August 27th.
Oh, super fun.
The Logging Camp Cookbook is coming out.
Oh, then. That's great.
Fun.
So I'll be there from 1 to 3. And
that's the 27th?
Be the 27th. Yeah, I'll be starting at 1. I'll stay late if people are buying books.
That's great.
I'll have them all there. But she's been a great supporter and so is Seaside Books too.
Oh,
nice.
Wonderful. Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Oh, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Chatting with us. And
I'm looking forward to sharing.
I know.
Or learn so much about Michigan.
So much about Michigan. Yeah, I'll have to visit Michigan.
And testing pickle bologna, which we'll do soon.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to sharing your cookbooks with my partner, Tom, to see how he manages in the
yeah,
kitchen
please
with
do
those. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Well, the single guy cookbook is the easiest. It's 6 ingredients or less, you know.
That right might be the start.
If you can't pull that off, then just step away from the stove.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Tim. It's been great.